Welcome to Finance Rules, the Eigenberger and Weiner Financial News Radio Show. It's a monthly podcast that offers insights into some of the top trends happening in financial markets. In this new podcast show on the Incandescent Radio Network, me, my business partners Michael Egan and Sheldon Weiner, as well as other advisors in our firm, will offer insights into some of the trends happening in the financial markets. Helping us do the show is Hope Katz Gibbs, creator of the Incandescent Radio Network, and let me turn it over to her.
Thank you so much, Brian. Today we're going to be talking about fraud and how to protect ourselves from being a victim. But first, let me tell the audience a little bit about you. A certified financial planner and accredited investment fiduciary, Brian has been a partner at Eigenberger & Weiner since 2006. With more than 20 years of experience in the finance industry, he is a principal of this independent financial services firm, which is experienced in all aspects of investment and retirement planning. So now let's talk about fraud and credit protection. What do you do if you become a victim of credit fraud or identity fraud?
Well, the first thing you want to do is pull your credit file. You actually have to see what's in your credit file. And so now there are three main companies that handle the credit. The first is, well, they're not in any particular order, but TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And they contain files on your credit history that give other creditors an opportunity to get a sort of a cursory look at whether or not they want to offer you credit opportunities. And they also track your payment history, lengths of your credit, as well as the fact that you might establish a new line of credit. And so usually what happens the first time there's fraud is someone will attempt to actually establish credit in your name. However, they will have control of that credit account themselves, and you may not be aware of that.
Well, that sounds pretty scary. Should you regularly monitor your credit, and how do you do that?
I think you should regularly monitor your credit. The problem with regularly monitoring your credit is you're only entitled to one credit report for free per year from each agency. And so after that, you would then start to incur fees for a service in order to generally to get more recent updates. And you don't want to have too many inquiries into your own credit. Obviously, whenever you generate a credit report inquiry, it doesn't hurt your credit score. But accessing your credit file often to establish lines of credit can actually diminish your credit score. So what I recommend is you consider paying for a credit monitoring program or service. For example, LifeLock or Identity Card, where basically they lock down your Social Security number and your ID for you and don't allow anyone to establish a credit history or a new credit account without actually checking with you first. So how do they do that? They check with you by, in the case of, I was recently out in Las Vegas, and I tried to use my credit card at, an Albertsons, and I was denied access to my own credit, which I was a little bit befuddled by, because usually you don't consider that if you're using it for $5 at a grocery store that you'd get a credit alert. But my cell phone had text message pop up asking me if I was currently at Albertsons in Las Vegas trying to use my credit card, and if so, type yes or no, right? So I actually responded yes, and then they authorized the transaction. So that's just one simple example of how a credit monitoring service might actually work to protect your credit. Some of these services are available from Visa or from your bank, but in the case of many other department store cards, these services aren't really as well maintained. So having a protection service like Identity Guard or LifeLock or some of the other ones will add this insulation of protection to keep a stranger from establishing credit in your name, which you'd be surprised how often that actually happens.
And are those free services or do you pay for them?
In the case of these companies, now, let me just reiterate that your free credit report, you don't have to pay for that. That's once a year, and you get that directly from the credit reporting agencies, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. But these services would be something you would pay for on your own, and they're not really expensive. You're talking about maybe $10 a month for simple monitoring and credit identity protection. And if you want, you can pay for additional services like that send you your FICO scores once a year. So if you're looking to buy a home and you want to make sure that your score, FICO, by the way, is a company that puts together a score that's commonly used to determine whether you can access a mortgage and at what rate you'd get it. You don't want to go in and try and buy that house without actually knowing what your FICO score is ahead of time. So you can pay for additional services where they'll once a year tell you your score.
Okay, excellent. What else can you do to protect yourself from fraud?
One of the most important things you need to do today is to find a password program or some sort of third-party software that'll lock down all your passwords on the internet. And the reason I say that is because it's not uncommon for me to find a client coming into my office to set up their own personal website, and we do that for our clients, and their password is the same on all their accounts, let alone that it might be a simple password like 123 or 1234 or welcome or, you know, maybe the dog's name. But they would have the same one on every account. And so one of the first things I want them to do is establish a password program that they keep a different passcode for every place they visit on the internet locked down. And it doesn't matter what it is, just have a different one for every website. Now, you don't have to remember them because you've locked them down in one program, and the one you have to remember is the password you use for your password program. You can do it on your mobile phone, you can do it on your iPad, you can do it on your computer. And once you have that really difficult, what we call a hard passcode for the password program, then the rest of the passcodes don't have to be quite as complicated, although it can be complicated. And never just use alpha and never just use numeric. Use alpha, numeric, a cap, and some sort of a string, whether that be the ampersand sign or the number sign or the dollar sign, and you mix them in. That's the best way to protect your identity, because if someone puts a password program from an email spam that you received and it throws a virus on your computer that's following the keystrokes, and you have just one password into everything, once they've got that one password, they have access. By the time you realize that someone's put a virus on your computer, it may be too late, and you don't know what kind of damage that could do.
Really smart, great advice. So what about kids going to college? How do we protect them from being the victims of credit fraud?
Well, we all know that kids always believe that they're smarter and more mature than they are. I was one of those people. And college is also a place with a lot of transientness. What I mean by that is that people come and go in dormitories and open spaces quite freely, including the library, the sporting events, and even the large lecture halls. So one of the things that's common to happen there is an iPad or an iPhone would get swiped, or that a wallet would be dropped. And one of the things that you want to make sure that you do is that you protect against the damage that could happen. So if you follow the first step, which is a credit monitoring service, that's a great idea. And if you follow the second step, which is hard to passcodes, if your devices are stolen, they're almost impossible to get into. And then lastly, probably one of the most important things to add next is if you are going to give your child a credit card for college, make sure it's a debit card and has a limited amount of money that can actually be gotten to. But because it's a debit card, it's usually backed by Visa or MasterCard. Therefore, it still has the same credit protections that a credit card would have. However, there are limitations. And if you factor in the fact that your child might behave a little better if they didn't have an unlimited credit line that they could tap before the problem gets back to the parent of realizing your child maybe has spent too much money for things, you're limiting the amount of money that they can actually access, perhaps. And you can reload a debit card every month, and you can do it from your bank account like you would pay a bill.
It's all excellent, excellent advice. It's very logical and common sense, but I think that a lot of people may be not thinking in this way. So thank you so much for your time, Brian. This is excellent. You are listening to Finance News, Eigenberger & Weiner's Financial News Radio Show on the Incandescent Radio Network. To talk to Brian Moore, send him an email at bbeatty, that's B-B-E-A-T-T-Y, at ebwllc.com, and log on to www.ebwfinancialnews.com. We'll look forward to talking to you soon, Brian. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.